You may proceed.
Good morning, and may it please the court. My name is Wahaj Mehmet, and I represent the appellates in this case. At this time, I'd like to request 3 minutes for rebuttal, please.
Three
minutes, yes, Your Honor. Non-conforming uses are not favored in the law. For a five-year period, Mr. Archie didn't own this piece of property, didn't have a legal right to be on the property. In fact, there were two permanent injunctions as well as one contempt of court order finding entered against him. Therefore, in order for Mr. Archie to continue the use, he not only trespassed on the property that he didn't own, but he ignored court orders as well. And that's why we're asking this court to overturn the trial court's finding of a lawful non-conforming use on the property. To be clear, the rule the appellants are proposing stems from this court's prior precedent in Booher and in Big Kelly. In the Booher case, this court held that the automobile junkyard was never permitted in that zoning district. And in the Dick Kelly case, this court held that the apartment building was never permitted in that zoning district. Essentially, in those two cases, the individual, the parties, did not have a legal right to begin the use. What we're asking the court to do is to take the rulings from those two cases and apply it to a situation like this, where an individual does not have a legal right to continue the use. In order to continue the use, he trespasses onto the property. We're asking the court to ensure...
Let me ask you this, though. The former owners, as well as the county, could have tried to police the injunction, right? Could have said, hey, you know, you need to be held in contempt, you need to comply, whatever. But instead, nothing happens.
Well, the former owners did try to police the injunction. What they did was they did file the contempt of court order. They did motion for a contempt of court order. The parties were found in contempt of court. And at that point, about a year and a half later, LMG sold the property back to the aunt and uncle. And at that point, the county's litigation, the interesting thing about this case is there's two tracks of litigation ongoing. You have the LMG litigation, and you have the county's litigation. From the county's perspective, there was that court order entered in the county's litigation saying that this parcel of property was cleared. There was no evidence to show that there was vehicles being placed on the property. From the county's perspective, we obviously never went back onto the property. From the county's perspective, we have to receive complaints in order to go back onto the property itself.
Okay.
In terms of the Booher and Dick Kelly case, we do believe the court should apply those rules in a situation like this. Now, this court has also held in the Donovan case that the failure to apply for a screening permit does not invalidate the nonconformity. Now, the Donovan case is wholly distinct from this situation. Once again, in the Donovan case, there was still a legal right to continue with the use. In this situation, as the trial court found in this joint appendix, page 215, Mr. Archie had no legal right to be there on the property, and he had no legal right to continue with the automobile salvage operation or business.
May I ask you this? Am I right that you're not arguing for the intentional abandonment provision, which does not have a time frame? You're only relying on the two-year discontinuance provision, right?
We're essentially making two arguments. We are arguing the discontinuance, but the first and the primary argument we're arguing is that because there's no actual legal right to continue with the use, it's invalid. The use at that point needs to cease. It is a form of intentional abandonment, but we're not relying on that particular section.
If I understand it correctly, it's that lawful non-conforming use doesn't just mean under the zoning ordinance, it means also under court orders and other legal measures.
Exactly. That's the argument that we're making here today. And in fact, if I can come back to your question for just a brief moment, we are making the discontinuous argument. The first argument we're making is that there was essentially no legal right to continue with the use. It's a form of intentional abandonment, but we're not necessarily relying on that code section, though. And Mr. Archie was even asked the question at the Board of Zoning Appeals hearing as to why he continued to use the property when LMG owned the property. And this is Joint Appendix, page 94. His response was, because I knew I was going to get the property back, and if I stopped the use, I lost the use. Essentially, Mr. Archie didn't care who owned the property. He didn't care that there was a court order stopping the use. And any use by Mr. Archie without right, without permission, was a trespass, and therefore the nonconforming use is invalid.
Are you, in answer to Justice McCullough's question, are you conflating lawful use in terms of you don't own it, the owner has asked you to move, with zoning law, lawful nonconforming use, which seems to me to be a different term as to how you get to use the property in the first place? You were using it, the county zoned around you, you have a lawful nonconforming use, as opposed to now someone has told you to move, but they don't move to enforce it. And so it seems that zoning law looks just at the use. Has the use continued?
So that's opposing counsel's exact argument, in the sense that because the use is continuous, he relies on the zoning ordinance section 601.11, saying that because the use is continuous, that's all you need to look at. This case is interesting because you have zoning law on one side, but you also have property law itself.
But you have a property law remedy. County has an injunction. The prior owner had an injunction, and no one chose to enforce the injunction. So why wouldn't the zoning law of use trump the inactivity under the land use?
Well, the way the zoning law, it flows from the state code. It's 15.22307. Because the zoning law still says that the use runs with the land, that doesn't mean you ignore who exactly is owning the parcel of property. The state code talks about a landowner's vested rights. And opposing counsel cites to that code section saying that the use runs with the land. He's absolutely right. In the zoning context, the use runs with the land. But what that code section doesn't allow for is for an individual to trespass onto another's property for the sole purpose of continuing a use. That code section is designed for when an individual sells a piece of property, leases a piece of property, rents a piece of property to a second individual, for that second individual to come onto the property and choose to continue the use or not to continue.
If we accept the county's argument, would that mean that one could never acquire property by adverse possession because it is in violation of the land?
No, we would argue that in terms of adverse possession, with it being open and being notorious, a 15-year period, the county's argument simply talks about a non-conforming use itself. And we would argue that adverse possession would still exist in its separate realm, but in the non-conforming use context itself, to be able to continue the use, you have to be a landowner with a vested right to the actual parcel of property in this situation. Now, this brings me to the second assignment of error.
Can I ask you a question? When and how do you claim that the use was ever discontinued?
So that's the second assignment of error, Your Honor. So from the county's perspective, the county would make the argument that the actual non-conforming use was ceased as defined by the county zoning ordinance in 1987 when LMG bought the property. Opposing counsel has the burden of proof to show that a non-conforming use exists on the property. At the Board of Zoning Appeals hearing, he was asked the question as to whether or not, this is Joint Appendix page 160.
Why do you say it ceased in 1987 when someone else bought the property?
Well, that's when LMG bought the property, and they ceased right. using the property as an automobile salvage.
How could they have done that when it's not an automobile salvage issue, really, because the use they were given was as an automobile graveyard?
Well, the trial court said that the non-conforming use was an automobile salvage operation or business.
Now, but remember, his petition to the city was to confirm whether or not this property was zoned as an automobile graveyard. So that's the issue that was before the Board of Zoning Appeals and before the zoning administrator.
Yes, Your Honor. We would make the argument that the junkyard is not simply placing vehicles on the property, but it's an operation, it's a business that's taking
place. Well, you might make that argument, and you certainly can make it, but isn't the question here whether or not the zoning of this particular parcel as an automobile graveyard was discontinued at any point in time?
And that's the exact question, Your Honor. And we do believe LMG ceased actually using the property. It's the question isn't whether Archie ceased using the property. The question is whether, I'm sorry, Your Honor, I think.
Well, I guess the thing that I find interesting is that you talk about using the property, whereas your definition of use for property is basically it could be an activity on a property or it could be something that occupies the property, right?
I think in this situation, because it's an automobile junkyard, the witness is testifying as to coming onto the property to look for parts, to storing parts. I think because it's an automobile junkyard, an automobile salvage operation or business, I think it's a step further than just having the junk parts or the junk vehicles laying, resting on the property itself.
I guess the problem with that is it runs headlong into the definition of automobile graveyard in your county's ordinance. Because in your county ordinance, it's an objective definition of what constitutes an automobile graveyard. And it says a lot, place, or parcel upon which five or more inoperable motor vehicles of any kind are found.
Yes, Your Honor.
So, I mean, that's the objective definition. So if the court in 1982 issues a certificate concerning parcel 20A, seeing that it's a non-conforming automobile graveyard, then it seems like to me the only way to prove that that use has been discontinued is to prove that there came a time when there were less than five inoperable vehicles on that property.
Yes, Your Honor, that is the way our zoning ordinance defines it. However, in this situation, because LMG themselves did not want to continue the use, Archie was the one that was continuing to place junk vehicles and junk parts.
Well, let me stop you there, because if you are asserting Code Section 32-601.21(1) and (2) concerning discontinuance, intent is not part of the statute. So what they intended to do would seem to be completely irrelevant as to what the actual use of the property was.
We would make the argument, Your Honor, while the county's zoning ordinance speaks to the use running with the land, that doesn't mean we can ignore the state code section. We have the Dillon Rule here in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Our ability to put that code section in place flows from 15.2.2307, which talks about a landowner's vested rights. And the court's prior precedent in Buhler and in Dick Kelly and in Donovan were looking at the use itself. But we're also looking at it actually an individual landowner itself. We can't ignore the fact, and I see that my time is up, if I can briefly...
Well, your time is not up. You're just into your rebuttal.
If I can briefly address...
Sure.
If with those three cases themselves, if the actual... They spoke about a landowner and an actual use as well. We can't ignore the fact that there was a landowner who owned this piece of property that did not want the use itself to continue.
But that's irrelevant to the statute you're applying to say that it was discontinued.
And, Your Honor, the argument we would make is that we can't look at the zoning ordinance without looking at the state code section, without this court's prior precedent as well. I think we've got to look at it as a totality.
And I still don't see how that helps you. But you'll have time for rebuttal.
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. You have 2 minutes and 11 seconds remaining for rebuttal.
May it please the Court, Chief Justice, Justices, Mr. Memon, my name is Jason Hickman. I'm here today on behalf of the appellee, Henry Archie, Jr. I want to clarify a couple of points that were asked and addressed during the intercourse with Mr. Memon. First of all, the county does not, nor has it ever, held an injunction against this property. There were two private party injunctions, not related to the county action. In fact, the prior zoning litigation specifically involved, and let me go back for a minute and explain factually how we got here. This particular property was originally a one tract, and the tract of land was bordered by two roadways, Minneville Roadway on one side and Telegraph Road on the other side. This tract was a very large rectangular tract of property. That property existed under their Henry Archie Sr.'s family for decades, and in fact was an automobile graveyard prior to the enactment on September the 1st, 1958, of the zoning ordinances. This tract, during the course of years, was divided into three smaller rectangular tracts. Parcel 20, which bordered on Minneville, Parcel 20B, which bordered on Telegraph Road, and Parcel 20A, which is the subject parcel that we're here today to discuss, also known as 13065 Minnieville Road.
May I interrupt you for a minute?
Yes, sir.
Based upon the questions we've been asking council, tell me if this is right. It seems to be three different layers of analysis. First, you know, is there a precondition or presupposition that the nonconforming use is lawful under any definition? Because if it's not lawful, we don't have to worry about abandonment and we don't have to worry about discontinuance. If it is lawful, has it been abandoned and was it intended to be abandoned by the owner, which here the argument would be LMG in 1987? And the third is, well, whatever anyone intended, was it in fact, was the use discontinued? When you walk out there, were those cars still there? Which is the two-year provision. Can you just cycle through those different, those three tiers and tell us what?
Absolutely. And this is exactly point on. There's a confusion here in the argument. A lawful nonconforming use is by definition a use that is lawful when the zoning code is enacted, but becomes unlawful because of the enactment of the zoning ordinance.
So going back to Justice Powell's questions earlier, the point is zoning law determines the lawfulness. So trespassers could, in theory, continue to use a lawful zoning category even though their actual personal use was a violation of criminal law.
Absolutely. And that's because...
That does sound peculiar, though, you realize.
It does absolutely sound peculiar. But it's as Justice Powell pointed out. There are other avenues to pursue. For example, a criminal violation for trespass. This is where I have some difficulty with appellant's argument. When you get an injunction, the next step is to act on that injunction. It's akin to a landlord-tenant action. Landlord-tenant actions we see all the time. You receive a writ of possession. Once you receive that writ of possession, that just means you have a writ of possession. But you have to go on and file the writ with the sheriff's office for the actual removal of the individual or the property from your property, which you now have the writ of possession on. Legal title by the ordinances doesn't matter. It is the use. Zoning law has always been about the use of a property. So moving on to the next layer, and I think it's important.
Wait, before we go there.
Yes, ma'am.
So LMG initiates a lawsuit against your client for the removal. They enter a settlement relative to the money damages, and you're saying unless they actually take another legal action to get the automobiles off there, then your client as a trespasser ends up with a lawful nonconforming use. For all those years.
He doesn't end up with it. He had it. He continues it.
He continues to have it despite the fact that he doesn't own the property.
Absolutely. Because, and if you look at this next section that I'll bring up, it tells you the answer to that question. 32601.11 of the Prince William County Code of Ordinances states, the nonconforming status of any nonconforming use shall adhere solely to the use of the land and not to the owner, tenant, or other holder of legal title to the property or the right to make use thereof.
But the problem is when you get to tier two, which is intentional abandonment by the actual owner. How is it that LMG is not screaming, I don't want these cars here, I want them off, I'm suing you, I want injunctions? From the very beginning, LMG does not want anything to do with a graveyard.
Okay.
Now, they don't actually get trucks hauling the things out, but they're trying to. Isn't that evidence of intentional abandonment?
Two things. First, subsection 3 of 32.
Can I stop you for a second?
Yes.
I guess the first thing is that the abandonment argument is not before the court.
Exactly.
Because
and that's what
not,
I was going to say.
Not asserted. Okay,
yeah.
But go ahead.
So the intentional abandonment was never addressed before the court. It wasn't addressed at the BZA. It wasn't addressed at the circuit court. And it hasn't been addressed here in the briefing. The only issue that has been addressed is 32-6, 601.21, sections 1 and 2, which are, if any non-conforming use is discontinued for a period of 2 years, then it shall be non-conforming use. And under 2, they define cessation of non-conforming use as the cessation of the actual use. And as has been testified to, the only testimony that has been testified to at the BZA was the use never stopped. Going back to, and this testimony was consistent, and let me take you back to that prior zoning litigation case. The prior zoning litigation case that was referred to, the actual decision of the trial court was 20 and 20B continue as lawful nonconforming uses, and continue today as lawful nonconforming uses. So the prior zoning litigation from which 20A was dismissed by the county, that litigation actually resulted in, and remember the rectangle, 20 and 20B continuing to be lawful nonconforming uses. And that hasn't changed today. So what we have is the middle parcel, which is 20A, which you can only access by going through 20 or 20B, as part of this overall automobile graveyard. And the use on that property has never changed.
Did you start out by saying that the county does not have an injunction against this property?
To my knowledge, the county does not have an injunction. There was an injunction against, I'm sorry.
What about this October 2nd, 1990 order, Sherman Patrick Jr., zoning administrator against Henry Archie Jr., which says in part, it appearing that the group is agreeable to an injunction prohibiting the storage of inoperable automobiles and parts thereof on the property, and it runs to the group as successors and assigns. My only point being, it seems that there is an injunction and all the county has to do is enforce it.
I'm not aware of which particular case you're referring to. Unfortunately, Your Honor, there's like 5 litigation matters. Understand that this case, Mr. Archie has been before the court numerous times over the past 30 years, and this case, the reliance in this case is on the 1987, I'm sorry, not 87, the 1990 injunction by and between LMG and Henry Archie, which was a private party injunction. The other matter referred, the 1990 matter, I think I know where you're going. I think I understand where it came from. The 1990 matter was not an injunction. The 1990 matter was the actual zoning violation that resulted in the May 24th, 1991 decision of the court, which found parcels 20 and 20A as valid nonconforming uses. The reference is that the other litigation, there was an injunction. So what the reference in that particular order was is that the court found that there was an injunction in another matter, that injunction being the LMG versus Henry Archie matter, which was a separate litigation matter, I believe.
Am I correct that the that matter involved not simply a settlement for money damages, but an order for your client to remove the cars from the parcel? Is that
there
right?
There was a predecessor order and then a settlement relative to the money damages. And as Judge Ferris pointed out, there was never any activity by LMG or anyone to actually remove or attempt to remove or have removed those vehicles from the property, because there was ongoing discussions relative to the status of this property, which ultimately led to Mr. Archie getting the property back, as Mr. Memon indicated. It was his desire all along.
The analogy might be like adverse possession, as was alluded to earlier, where you talk to your neighbor, so you need to remove that shed or whatever, and then nothing ever happens. Well, too bad.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a situation where the use of the property really comes into play, akin to adverse possession, akin to post-possession of a premises after a writ of possession is ordered in a landlord-tenant matter, the use continues.
Or quite honestly, as opposed to that first possession, I mean, the analogy seems to work. Like, your neighbor's like, you need to move your junk. No, I'm not going to move it. You need to move it. I'm going to call the law and make you move it. And then it's like, oh, you'll pay me? Oh, well, okay, well, I'll take the money and don't worry about moving it anymore. We're good.
And I don't know what was in their mind at the time, and I don't mean to speak to that, but that certainly is a logical conclusion.
Well, your legal theory on non-conforming uses, is this right? A non-conforming use runs with the land. We all agree
yes.
to that.
Yes.
And what that means is that the non-conforming use runs with the successive owner of the land.
It does
use,
not.
Right. So you say instead, non-conforming use runs with the land, meaning any successive landowner as well as any trespasser on the land.
As long as the use has continued, the ordinance says that that's a lawful non-conforming use. Because remember, lawful is describing the non-conforming
so
use.
So you, for all trespassers.
For whomever is on the property using the property in that way. Because there is an alternative mechanism to remove that person if you want to remove that person. That's by criminal trespass. That's by actually taking and getting not only the writ of possession, but actually asking the sheriff or county representatives, police, to come and assist with the removal of the individual or individuals from the property.
Can I ask you, see if I understand what you're saying? So if a junkyard business illegally operates because they don't get a business license, right? And an owner of property leases the property to the junkyard business. Junkyard business is clearly in violation of law. Everything they do is unlawful, and they couldn't be enjoined by the authorities. It wouldn't affect the lawfulness of the use of the property, and the owner wouldn't be stripped of the non-conforming use continuation just because the tenant or the lessee was unlawfully using the lawful use of the property. Does that make any sense?
That's absolutely true, and it's actually the decision in Dick Kelly Enterprises that council has cited to. In that case, there was a subsequent requirement that there be fencing on a lawful nonconforming use, in this instance, an automobile graveyard. And the court said that just because they don't have fencing doesn't mean that that takes away the lawful nonconforming use. It just means they don't have fencing, and you can enjoin them to.
So, in a nutshell, you can unlawfully use a lawful use. Is that too contradictory? You can unlawfully use. You can be in a state of illegality in your use of it, like the business that doesn't have a business license, but the use of the property itself is still lawful.
For zoning purposes, yes.
Okay.
For other purposes, no. But you've got to go down the right set of stairs to get there. At this point, I see my time is almost up. I would ask that you uphold the decision of the trial court. Thank you very much for your time.
Rebuttal?
Just a few points, Your Honors. You know, there's a distinction between failure to file a fencing plan versus having no actual legal right to continue with the use. And that's what the trial court found. Was
how would you answer my hypothetical? A business, a junkyard business, is unlawfully operating a junkyard business because they don't have a business license. And the owner leases the property, and of course, it doesn't matter under the ordinance that that's the deal. Would the property lose its non-conforming lawful use status just because the user of the non-conforming lawful use status is doing it unlawfully?
No. You see, in that situation, they would not lose non-conforming status because the use itself is still legally permissible. It's still legally allowed.
Okay. So here, the trespassers using it as a junkyard.
And so in this situation, what's distinct from this situation is that there's an additional step of a permanent injunction being filed by LMG to stop the actual use that runs to the use. In your situation,
so everyone's mad with the trespasser. I mean, that doesn't change the use of the property, though.
No, so if we would argue that in the hypothetical that Your Honor has presented with the tax itself is a business tax that's either being followed or not being followed. The use itself, the tax, the failure to pay the tax doesn't run to the actual legal right to continue the use. In this situation, the permanent injunction said, you need to stop this use. This use.
How does that change the zoning of the property?
Oh, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
How does that change the zoning of the property?
Do you mean in terms of which zoning classification?
As far as there being a lawful non-conforming use there under the zoning ordinance.
We would. The argument would be that if there's no actual legal rights, if the permanent injunction is saying this use itself must be stopped.
See, it seems like to me the problem, the thing you're missing is LMG still had a right to a lawful non-conforming use of the property as a junkyard. And they still had more than five vehicles up there. And because of that, they were allowed to keep those vehicles on the property.
Yes, Your Honor. Those vehicles were not their vehicles. Mr. Archie...
Right, but they could still have them on their property without violating zoning because it's a lawful non-conforming use to have them there.
You're absolutely right. The landowner can absolutely have the vehicles there. But in this case, we're not talking about a landowner. We're talking about an individual who had no legal right to the property itself. To attempting to continue the use, well, LMG, I see that my time is up, if I can briefly conclude.
Please.
LMG was not placing the vehicles there. They wanted the vehicles off their property. They were screaming that the vehicles be taken off their property. That's what they filed for and obtained the permanent injunction to have the vehicles removed.
With the Chief's permission, may I ask one last
Absolutely.
Question?
Absolutely.
Is it right? Why didn't you make the abandonment argument? I don't get that in this case.
I think our argument, Your Honor, our first argument, while we haven't cited the actual abandonment zoning ordinance, our argument is that the first argument that we have, that the permanent injunction declares the non-conforming use invalid, is akin to the abandonment. While we haven't cited to it, we would argue that that essentially is the abandonment.
Okay, argument. Fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The court will be in recess and will resume oral arguments at 11 o'clock.
All right. Thank you, Mark.